Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call to order this Thursday, September 8th, 2016 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. Ms. Spear, would you please call the roll?
Chairman Noe.
Here.
Chairman Bulova.
Here.
Chair Randall.
Here.
Board Member Fassette. Mayor Silverberg.
Here.
Mayor Parrish. Mayor Strombrice.
Here.
Council Member Snyder. Council Member Rochelle.
Here.
Senator Glass. Delegate Hugo.
Here.
Delegate Minshew.
Here.
Ms. Hines.
Here.
Mr. Cole.
Here.
Mayor Foreman. Ms. Cuervo.
Here.
Mr. Horton.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. First item of business is the minutes of the July 14th meeting. Any comments or questions? We have one from a member who's not here. Anybody have any changes they need to propose to this? Ms. Backman, do you have the email from Mr. Snyder?
We do.
Mr. Snyder, who's not here this evening, or maybe late this evening, had asked that some language be added.
So he wanted to know if we could add, in order to provide you, he changed his vote from an abstention to a yay in favor of adoption of the FY 2017 program, and he wanted to add, in order to provide a united front for Northern Virginia in dealing with Richmond.
He said that.
He said that. But we have to read it into the record. Any objection to that being included in the minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion for approval?
Mr. Chairman.
I don't know exactly what it means, huh? United Front and dealing with Richmond. Governor?
You can ask Mr. Snyder about that one. I learned long ago to not speak for Mr. Snyder in his absence.
Because I wasn't paying attention.
No, that's okay. In order to provide a united front for Northern Virginia in dealing with Richmond.
It must be referring to the Richmond City Council.
I see.
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to move approval of the minutes as amended.
Second from Ms. Randall. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. All right, Ms. Backman. Presentation for us.
And this will be a brief presentation, Chairman Noe, but I did want to report out to the authority regarding the presentation request that has been made from the Joint Commission on Transportation Accountability. And just to give you some background, the authority is required to report annually to the Joint Commission on Transportation Accountability and annually by November 15th of each year on how you expend your revenue as approved by HB 2313. The November 2016 report will be filed for fiscal year 2016. And we do file that and give the authority a copy of that report. That is different from the annual report that's the glossy with the maps and everything. This annual report that we file with the JCTA, because it's due by November 15th, doesn't close out the calendar year. The annual report that we give you with the glossy pages is really a calendar year annual report. The membership of the JCTA, again, our own delegate Hugo is the chairman, and you can see the other names written above. I will not go through them. This reporting or this meeting of the JCTA will be held during the Governor's Transportation Conference on October 19th. It's a joint meeting with the JCTA and the House and Senate Transportation Committee. And this meeting was actually postponed. It was actually going to take place in June, but it was postponed, and the authority was asked to speak to your roles, responsibilities, and outlook for the future, and again, present on how these revenues have been expended. The June meeting was again moved to October. So the October presentation will be attached to your October meeting packet. The annual JCTA report will be ready in November as the authority receives its audited financial statements. And again, the presentation is responsive to the JCTA request. Some of the highlights that I wanted to know, and again, this is just an overview, is some of the work that you already do. You're responsible for your long-range transportation plan for the region. You're responsible for allocating funds made available to through HB 2313, and you do make CMAQ and RSTP programming recommendations. You serve as the advocate for transportation needs in Northern Virginia before the state and federal governments, and that's really done as part of your legislative program. You develop in coordination with your localities, regional priorities and policies to improve air quality, and then just general oversight on regional transportation issues. Some of the things noted on this slide are some things that you have statutory authority to do, but you don't currently undertake. And again, I won't read through everything, but we did want to note that because it speaks to the roles and responsibilities per code that are assigned to the authority. Some additional presentation highlights will include some of the governing legislation that you worked through as far as executing and implementing HB 2313, the regional revenues allocated to projects, the local revenues distributed to member localities, the MBTA revenue sources and amounts, the regional investments made to date. And I did want to take a minute to speak to that. To date, with the adoption of your July 14, 2017 program, you funded 79 projects to the tune of $990 million. We're also going to give a report of the member locality 30% project, look at some of the congestion reduction impacts that those 79 projects have had, and I shouldn't say 79 because we haven't done HB 599 on all of the projects, and looking ahead, what the authority sees looking ahead. Some of the sample regional investments that you see here, the 6628 interchange, Route 28, multiple segments, Route 1, Route 7, Loudoun County Parkway, Fairfax County Parkway, Columbia Pike, Belmont Ridge, multiple segments. And I do note we are having a groundbreaking on Belmont Ridge on September the 27th. Additional sample regional investment, and I think it helps showing it like this because the 79 projects do tell a story. 34 bus purchases, which goes to new and increased bus service throughout the region, two bus garage facilities, one of which the West Ox Maintenance Facility. We're also doing a groundbreaking on September 22nd for the new building that you funded $20 million on for that facility, 300 space park and ride facility, Metro Station's Innovation of Potomac Yards, Christmas City, BRE parking and expansion, and traction power upgrades for the orange and blue lines. Getting to some of the congestion reduction impacts. Regarding HB 599, you've really taken, conducted HB 599 on 33 projects. Under your FY 2014 program, we did not conduct HB 599 because VDOT wanted the opportunity to get up and running, and we didn't want to collect the taxes and fees without advancing a funding program. With your FY 2015-2016 program, HB 599 was conducted on the highway or roadway projects because we wanted to ensure that the model worked for transit and gave an apples-to-apples comparison of the transit and the highway projects, but you did want to include HB 599 in your analysis. And then with the FY 17 program, the transit and highway projects, all projects were rated and evaluated for their congestion reduction impacts. So getting back to the slide, you have done an analysis of 33 projects, and just those 33 of the 79 projects that has undergone 599, I want you to take a look at some of those numbers. The reduction in 30 million person hours of travel time by 2020 and 59 million by 2040. We have a reduction in 220,500 hours of annually on heavily congested facilities by 2020, and then you can see the number by 2040. Reduction in 33 million person hours of travel annually in automobiles by 2020 and 67.7 by 2040. Increase in 60,000 jobs that can be accessed based on a 45-minute travel time by auto and a 60-minute travel time by transit by 2020, and then it's 73,400 jobs by 2040. And again, there is the caveat reminding that this analysis is for 33 projects. Again, looking ahead, we are in the process, as you know, of updating transaction. This is the first update since the passage of HB 2313. Once transaction is completed and adopted by the authority, we are seeking to develop the region's first six-year program that covers fiscal years 18 to 2023. We anticipate that we have $1.7 billion in anticipated revenues for the six-year program to fund the six-year program. Our debt capacity over the next 20 years, we're looking at $1.6 billion. And then we also estimate that over the six-year time frame, $721 million will be transferred to localities for their 30% projects. Again, this is over a six-year time frame. One thing that I want to note is in my ED report, but I'll say it here. I know you've heard in the news about the state, the shortfall regarding funding. That has not impacted the authority. We do not use the state estimates. We use the estimates that are provided by the localities. So we're pretty much, I guess we're doing a little better than anticipated, like correct me if I'm wrong. And again, we're going to continue to focus on regional projects and priorities, not just local interests. And I have this at the bottom, but it really should be at the top. Transparency and collaboration. Transparency being job number one. And of course, this is a collaborative process. And again, for your October, as part of your October meeting packet, we will have the exact presentation attached that will be given to the JCTA.
Any questions, Ms. Batten? I want to make sure I heard you. There was a number put out there that, shoot. 30 million person hours of travel time is cumulative.
That is clear.
Okay. there just aren't enough years in the year to, okay.
It is cumulative.
That's okay. That makes, that makes more sense. Thank you.
Anything else? Mr. Chairman. Yeah, one, thank y'all. I think it'll be a great presentation. I appreciate you guys doing this. I think the one question that'll be out there is the overlapping jurisdictions of MBTA and MBTC. I think that might be a discussion item. I think that people may well bring up just to be aware of.
Okay.
Because I think there's, in the past, there's been legislation to basically bring MBTC under MBTA. And I think that may continue to be a discussion item, just to be aware of it. It may be brought up, so just be prepared on that.
You ready for some answers?
Yeah, yes, sir. And then the other thing, too, and to invite everybody, especially, I think one of the other agenda items will be the discussion of Metro and some of the things that are coming at it. Y'all are well aware. I think they're coming to the various jurisdictions or to the state. I think the concern is that they need another $100 million in operating money for next year. And about $3 billion in capital expenditures. So I believe my understanding tentatively right now is that Councilman Evans will be coming to testify also.
Okay.
So I know all the jurisdictions have concern about Metro impact or thoughts about Metro. Just be aware that may be something that'll come up to on the agenda. But thank you very much for the presentation.
I just wanted to thank Delegate Hugo for being forthcoming and giving us a heads up that that you'll be looking at the issue of MBTC and MBTA. It has been examined before. There's some reasons for,
right.
Why not.
There's a reason for it again.
But let's take a look and we appreciate your.
I never surprised my friends.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you, Ms. Batten. A couple action items this evening. I always forget this. Do want to introduce a new member tonight. Steve Strombus is the mayor, the new, perhaps short term, but not acting, the mayor of the city of Fairfax.
Oh, I'm not acting. This is real.
No, I think the post referred to you as the acting mayor. So that's not correct. So Steve is the new mayor of the city of Fairfax through next February.
I understand I was supposed to give a 45-minute speech. We'll save it for
our time. I hope you're a very short mayor.
So first action item is with the resignation of Mayor Silverthorne from the City of Fairfax. We are absent a vice chairman, so we need to elect a new vice chairman. Last week, I appointed Chairman Bulova and Mayor Parrish to serve as a nominating committee, so I'll recognize Ms. Bulova.
Thank you very much, Chairman Noe, and both Mayor Parrish and I have collaborated on a number of different occasions, and we are both in agreement in nominating Phyllis Randall, Chairman of the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors, to serve out the remaining portion of the vacant seat left vacant by Scott Silverthorne. And I would like to say this is a 4-month term, and elections will be held again, or we will have another nominating process again for the end of the year to elect new officers the beginning of 2017.
I would also like to also mention, I know that there is interest in Delegate Minshew serving on the project committee.
I don't believe that's correct.
Okay. There may not be interest, but if there were, we have an opportunity to talk about, other interests that individual members of the commission or authority might have in serving on.
So we have a motion from Mr. Prince.
Chairman, since the chairman of our authority is in such robust health, there's not really an exigency. So since my Loudoun colleague, Senator Black, was not present today, I would respectfully ask that this matter be passed by for a month and considered at our October meeting. And which seconds?
Okay. There's a motion to pass this matter by. Is there a second on that motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hugo. All in favor of passing this matter by, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The next action item we have is the approval of the vision and goals for the 5-year strategic plan. Ms. Back.
So, Mr. Chairman, back in April, on April 11th, to be precise, which seems like a lifetime ago, we had a work session with the authority to help develop the vision and goals for your 5-year strategic plan. The reason why that was done is per the presentation that you just saw earlier this evening, there are roles and responsibilities that per code that the authority currently undertake versus those that you do not undertake. So we wanted to look, just bite off, well, didn't want to bite off more than we could chew, but we wanted to do a 5-year strategic plan. So we had a work session with the authority. We had great turnout. I think 15 of 17 authority members actually participated in that work session. And then afterwards, on May the 26th, MBTA staff working with the regional jurisdictional and agency coordinating committee, we worked to review and provide feedback on some of the input that we heard from you at the work session. Again, we met on July 7th to try to fine tune a goals and visioning statement, if you will, for the development of this 5-year strategic plan. And this is item 6 in your packet. If you go to the bottom of the page, you will see that the vision statement that's being recommended to you this evening, and it is based on the feedback that we heard from you as the authority members. The Northern Virginia Transportation Authority leads Northern Virginia into a transportation future equipped with multimodal transportation options for the community that advance the overall quality of life and economic prosperity for the region. That's one sentence. I know it's a long one, but that is one sentence. Using innovation partnerships, and collaboration, the MBTA delivers effective long-term planning, transparent policy processes and decision-making, and the efficient allocation of critical transportation resources that advance projects moving Northern Virginia forward as a preeminent region in the country. Pretty long, but we think it's comprehensive regarding what you do and what you're moving forward, in the future. Regarding the goals, we did identify 5 goals that would really help us to get you to the vision statement or address the vision: regional prosperity and foster regional prosperity by investing in a sustainable transportation network that supports economic growth while balancing quality of life. Mobility through sound planning and programming, increased transportation connectivity, increased available transportation options. Then we have manage/reduce/mitigate congestion, because we do want to get your feedback essentially on is it manage, reduce, or mitigate congestion, because there are some statutory requirements. Then the funding component is support transportation infrastructure development through good stewardship of taxpayer dollars, maximizing opportunity from existing sources, and advocating for additional transportation revenues. And lastly, innovation. Lead the region in planning and advocating for emerging transportation technologies that address future transportation, workplace, and development trends. If you so choose to adopt this vision statement and goals this evening, we will continue to have work sessions with the RJAC, the next one being on September 29th, and then one on November 3rd, to bring back some performance measures that really get to these goals.
Any questions, discussion?
I just wanted to throw something out for conversation and to get another perspective. Is it appropriate to use the phrase economic prosperity? And I bring this up because economic prosperity, of course, as we all know, is a byproduct of a robust and strong transportation system, but it's not the prime purpose of the MBTA. House Bills 599 and 2313 both reference congestion reduction, and 599 references regional mobility. And I suspect that if any one of the localities were to promote or advance their project, even partially basing that on economic prosperity, we might very well get a phone call from the MBTA.
Well, if I could, Mr. Chairman, I believe your enabling legislation speaks to the authority, I don't want to say enhancing the economic prosperity of the region, but it does speak to the authority regarding the economic development and Kamala's pulling up the prosperity of the region. I do want to know also in your goal statement for your transaction update, we do state that in the 21st century, Northern Virginia will develop and sustain a multimodal transportation system that enhances quality of life and supports economic growth. And that is one of your adopted vision and goal statements, and it was pretty much consistent with your previous long-range transportation plan.
I guess my thought pattern was that if to advance the overall quality of life and economic prosperity for the region through, and then to add on to that statement, would take the emphasis from the economic prosperity and make that a secondary byproduct of the actual purpose of the MBTA. Does that make sense? Hoping to get someone's perspective on that.
I'm reading.
Economic prosperity for the region
through congestion reduction, blah, 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 blah.
So you would just add that verbiage, because I think what they're trying to get to is that economic prosperity and transportation are obviously linked, and we've all recognized that.
Yes.
So would you say verbiage of, so economic prosperity through
congestion reduction, or however
reduction.
One would want to word that. I see economic prosperity most definitely is linked to a robust infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
but I see it more as a byproduct than walking hand in hand, side by side. Or am I putting too fine a point on
well,
that?
Well, I don't think it says to produce to reduce quality of life and economic prosperity. I think it says to advance. And so I think if I've put too fine of a point on it also, but I think that since it says advance, it kind of, in my mind, that means to promote it. And the transportation infrastructure does promote economic prosperity. So I actually, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you, Jeanette, but I think that, that it gets to the point.
So if I may, what I've been thinking about, going back to the comment about the legislation, I think there's a lot of different enabling legislation that defines what the authority is and does. There's no question that HB 2313, which created the bulk of the funding that we administer, is entirely built around congestion relief. And I don't think that has been abandoned in here in terms of the things, I don't think we've walked away from the concept of congestion relief in this. However, implementing HB 2313 isn't the only thing that the authority does. There are other funding streams that we currently administer, and as was shown in the slides, there are other things that we could do in the future, we just don't happen to do at this time, and some of them we may never ultimately end up doing. And what I come back to is when I think back to the lobbying efforts over many, many years that led to, ultimately, the passage of 2313. The notion of quality of life and economic prosperity were the justification. I think as a region, we said, we need dedicated transportation funding for Northern Virginia so that we can maintain a high quality of life and continue to prosper economically. So to me, the core mission of government generally in Northern Virginia, of which we are only one small part, is to advance quality of life and economic prosperity. This organization happens to do that by improving multimodal transportation options for the community, et cetera, et cetera. So I think I think the value of this sentence is that it talks about what we do vis-a-vis what the community needs government generally to do, and then also talks about how we do that under the laws that control our funding. It's a big picture and narrower picture in the same sentence.
Right. That makes sense. And more to the point, I think Chair Randall's comment about that, the phrase that advance is pertinent. Yeah.
Your discussion. Ms. Hunter.
Thanks, Marty. I wasn't here for any of the conversations. I feel a little bit like I'm first shooting in. So I want to ask one question. In the funding goal, I presume we're talking about both of these. We're going to do one motion, right, Marty, to adopt both of these.
Yes.
So, what does maximizing opportunities from existing sources mean?
We really want to look at, especially as we've seen when we have larger projects, that they're not really just trying to come with all of the 70% revenues. There are state funds, there are federal funds, there are local dollars, just maximizing all of the opportunities out there that could be grant funding to advance some of these projects.
So I think of that more as leveraging multiple sources to make best use. And if you all say that's what this means, then I'm going to be fine. I just wasn't sure. But maximizing it, because I get the idea of we want people to have skin in the game. We're not the whole game. And existing sources, I wasn't sure if it was our sources, if it was, multiple sources.
Multiple. So whatever is out there available.
And maybe available is a better word than I don't know. I just was that phrase. I mean, no, I'm not. I just want to know what it means. And if you all are clear that's what it means, I find it good. You probably don't need that colon after through in that sentence either.
Mr. Chairman, maximizing and leveraging have two sort of different meanings. The maximizing is getting the most out of existing sources. Leveraging, I think, means maybe taking existing sources and finding other things to enhance or to add to. So it would, you could say both. You could say leveraging and maximizing and capture both.
Mr. Mitchell.
Mr. Chairman, there's three sources of law that provide pretty good authority of who we are, what we're all about, what we do, what our authorities are. So, Virginia Code 33.2-2500, 33.2-2508, and 33.2-2512. Those three things provide, this is the point that kind of backs up what Ms. Fischel was saying, it's pretty clear what our goals and missions and authorities are. And I wonder, do we need to kind of rewrite state code sections because it's unclear? I'm not sure we do. And I commend those three statutes because to me it's pretty clear and spelling out what we do. And as Ms. Bachman noted, we have authority that are like muscles we've not exercised. It's perfectly okay, we don't have to. But we have authority that we've chosen not to use. But the bottom line is, Mr. Chairman, I think those three code sections that I just referenced, law adopted by the General Assembly, signed by the governor, is pretty clear in telling us what our goals and missions are supposed to be by law.
So, Mr. Chairman, what I would say is that this is a 5-year strategic plan to address, it was really Mayor Parrish's big question, what does the authority want to be when it grows up? This really isn't about rewriting code. We know what the roles and responsibilities per code are. under the legislation, but how, what do you want to do over the next 5 years and as far as the autonomies, I guess, granted to the authority per the code. In order to be able to measure that, we wanted to start with a vision statement, which the facilitator noted, Craig Gerhardt, it is like, you know, pie in the sky, then we're narrowing it down. We heard a lot of things at your work session. So we took a lot of the commentary from the work session to give us a vision statement. Then we developed the goals from that, from what we've heard. And now we want to do some performance measures so we can have a way of tracking, is the authority on track in addressing some of the things that you said you wanted to do. We definitely are not looking to go outside of the confines of the law.
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir. I guess the vision is more aspirational. The law tells us what we can do. And so, so this is more aspirational, you know, what we wish to accomplish with the legislation.
Absolutely.
That, you know, gives us the ability to relieve congestion and improve transportation.
There are a lot of things, like it says, regarding performance measures, some things in the code, air quality, looking at environmental issues, air quality, and things like that. We just want to set a framework, if you will, because to be honest, your transaction 2040, when we have performance measures, we pulled exactly what was in your code, what your enabling legislation regarding some of the things you should be looking at when you're evaluating projects. But that's for one set. You also have CMAQ and RSTP. Programming autonomy, you have tolling authority, you have construction authority if you so choose. We just want to get an idea of how do we get from where we are and what we want to be. Now, again, this would be for your vision and goal. If you tell us this evening, scrap it, and you don't want to proceed with it, then we'll come, regroup, and come with plan B. It's really your direction to us as staff.
So, if I may, to the question about being in compliance with the code, I think it's an important question. As I'm reading through it again, I don't have those code sections in front of me. I mean, they're saved on the desktop of my laptop. I'm up all the time, but I don't have them in front of me. I don't think there's anything in this draft language that is in conflict with or that deviates from what the code calls on us to do. The one piece, and this is the piece that Ms. Bachman identified is where we need feedback, is we've been presented with the choice of increase available transportation options and then manage or reduce or mitigate congestion. I guess there's been some discussion. To me, that one is a simple answer because of those three choices, reduce is the word that is in the code and therefore should be translated over this. We're not told manage or mitigate congestion. Now, there will be times when, there probably already have been times, where we will fund projects that only reduce congestion relative to what would have happened had we not funded the project. Because congestion might get worse either way, with or without the project. Just the question is how fast. But the code says we have to reduce congestion. I don't see anything else, but if someone does, I'm going to hear it. I don't see anything, neither this vision or these goals, however, that call on us to do something that we're not already tasked with doing.
I think we omit, is there any reference to benefits and jurisdictional equity, because that's in the state code, the benefits. And the second thing is we exist under both state and federal law. And federal law has a lot to say about air quality connected with transportation. So I'm wondering, environmental issues are something that both the state and this body exist under. So I agree we should stay within the confines of the law, but the law is, yes, it is state, but it is also federal.
Chairman, I think I concur with my chairman from Fairfax County. What we're arguing about is aspirational. And so they don't supersede the law and they don't limit the law. Really what we're having a discussion about for the last 15 minutes is about a paragraph that we put on the website that nobody's probably going to read. And I just think we've really got to figure that out. I'm fine with the wording on it because we're limited by the law. There's nothing in this that's going to supersede the law. It is totally aspirational. And again, it's words that will go on the website, and they're nice, and maybe four or five people will read it. And that's really what we're arguing about over here. And I appreciate the thing, but I just think I think what the committee did a great job. I would hope, I don't know if we if you'll entertain a motion to adopt the language, I think we move on.
Was that a motion?
Absolutely.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay, second, Mr. Minichin. Ms. Overton.
Well, just in terms of public input, and can you describe when, how that will roll out in terms of timing for comment from the public?
On this vision statement?
I'm going to.
I don't think this is something that we.
There's no need for it.
Okay. This is the vision and the goals of this group.
Okay.
Which, you know, in the interest of complying with the law and presumably, probably maybe not a safe presumption, presumably we have some sense of what the community expects from us. So we have a motion on the floor. Let me make a couple of suggestions. Ms. Hines was right. The colon in under the funding is not necessary. That needs to be stricken. And I think, I would presume, Mr. Hugo, that we want the word reduce because that's consistent with
absolutely.
The past. Right? Small things. Okay.
So,
right.
So scratch, manage, and mitigate. It's reduce.
It's reduce. That's what the law calls for us to do. Any further discussion on this?
Yeah. What are we going to do with air quality and jurisdictional?
Those actually,
benefits?
I think, and we need to work forward with the RJAC and the MBTA staff, I think that's something that we can address under some of the performance measure option. But we haven't gotten to just yet. Or I should say objective in the performance measure. We have, whether we put this in this language or not, your project that you fund are regional. By being regional projects, we send them to the Transportation Planning Board, and they have to undergo the air quality conformity determination. That is the federal requirement.
Well, it seems to me we just ought to reference air quality in there somewhere. Because it's so fundamental to the world that we live in. If we don't meet our air quality requirements, the federal funds are cut off.
I kind of see quality of life capturing that. So quality of life is clean air, clean water, attractive and clean environment. So I guess
quality of life in the environment. I'm trying to be as minimal as possible.
Seconder, I don't have a problem with adding quality of life and a clean environment. A clean environment and economic prosperity.
So is that
quality of life, comma, the environment and economic prosperity?
Is that a proposed amendment to the motion?
Yes.
Maker of the motion okay with that?
I've accepted it.
Fantastic. All right, so make that change. Any further discussion?
Can I just raise one point that, again, I was not part of any of this process, so I'm kind of learning as we go here. But the one word I don't see mentioned in here at all is safety. Obviously, someone spends a lot of time driving around and kids who are preparing for driver's license. Safety is something that's a concern. I don't know if that's captured. I know it's obviously going to be part of performance metrics that are going to be required on the federal level. It's going to feed into state plans, but just an issue I raised.
I mean, I feel like that's a performance metric thing,
mm-hmm.
because it's sort of embedded in, in principle, it should be embedded in everything we do,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
I think a sustainable transportation network is by its definition safe.
Okay, any other discussion on this? Okay. Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Doctor, anything else for us this evening?
Only the one thing I do have regard, and I mentioned it earlier, you do have two groundbreakings coming up, September 22nd, the West Ox Maintenance Facility, and then September 27th, the Belmont Ridge Road Project. And that is all.
Okay. Do we have a report from the Technical Advisory Committee tonight?
We have a written report in your packet.
Nothing needs to be shared outside of that?
No.
Fantastic. Chairman's comments. Only item I have for this evening is the other vacancy that is created by Mr. Silverthorne's resignation is the chair of the Governance and Personnel Committee, and I'd like to appoint Ms. Hines to chair that committee. She actually created the committee and then never got to stick around and chair it. So if the committee doesn't work out, it's your fault. Okay. With that, any other matters to come before the authority of the scene? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.